Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Here in our text, the Apostle Paul continues just where he had closed the first part of this chapter. Let no debt remain outstanding. This is a surprising beginning of a text. In the first part, he talked about authorities, governments, and our obligations to respect and to pay taxes. And now in verse 8, he just continues in this direction. Let no debt remain outstanding. This means, if you owe somebody something, pay it back. Now we could have interesting discussions about overdrawing our accounts by the credits we are offered, by just little small interest. But this is not our topic today, because the sentence in verse 8 continues, as a follower of Christ have only one debt remaining, love. Well, the meaning of this little word has always been misunderstood and misused, and still is today. As human beings, usually when we say, I love this flower, I love this book, I love that pizza, I love this person, we long for it. We want to have it. But the love Paul means here is a different kind of love. The giving love. Not the wanting love. And this should and will be our remaining debt, Paul says. All the other debts we should be able to pay in due time, as we agreed, repayments punctually. But there's one debt which will always remain outstanding, because we can never pay it. And this is our duty to love. We can never stop loving somebody and say, I have loved enough. But before we continue with Paul's great theme of love, and in each of his many letters in the New Testament, he has something to say about love. You can check it at home. Every letter he speaks about love. I want to share with you something about the verses 11 and 12, where Paul speaks about the present time. And later we come back to love. The hour has come for you to wake up from slumber. Maybe this is a special sentence for the university students. Wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Which is the time Paul talks about, and which day is almost here? Advent, the coming, we have realized, is now. But Paul does not tell us here what will happen on that day. He only tells us what to do. The Irish writer Samuel Beckett wrote a play, Waiting for Godot. Who knows that one? Oh, quite a number. And you will remember, in the whole play, nothing happens. And there is no development or something like that. It is only about two men waiting somewhere at a roadside for Godot to come. But Beckett does not say who Godot is. And it seems that these men also don't know. So they wait, but Godot does not come. At the end of each act, and this is also the end of each day they are waiting, a boy comes along and telling them, "Sorry, but Godot cannot come today, but surely he will come tomorrow." And so every act is the same with a few variations. Once one of the men, he needs to go to toilet, but he doesn't dare to go because during his absence Godot may come, so he doesn't go. Something like that, but nothing else. And the play closes, Godot does not come. That's the end. When Paul says, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, this sounds very optimistic. Some may ask him, how do you get to such optimistic view? Do you not know what is going on in the world? Have you never listened to the dark forecasts? Global warming, resulting in terrible floods and droughts, the danger of terrorism. What if one day they might possess nuclear bombs? Future looks rather dark than bright. Then his answer will be, I have already experienced this new day in my life. I met that light. In person, he talks about the light, verse 12. More correctly, the light met me. It struck me down to blindness, but he restored me completely from physical and from spiritual blindness. His love has overwhelmed me, and now for the rest of my life I proclaim this light to the whole world, Jesus Christ, the Savior for everybody. Now in verse 11, he wants the Christians in Rome to understand the present time and the coming of the new day. What does that mean to them? And what does that mean to us? This means Jesus will come back again. He has promised, as we can read in the Gospel of John, for instance, in chapter 14, in my Father's house are many, many rooms, and I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Now let us be honest. Do we really believe that he will return? This promise he made about 2,000 years ago. Mr. Paul, 730,000 new days have come and gone. But nothing has happened. And we should still wait? Maybe another 2,000 years? We have become skeptic, doubting. Maybe like the Jews during the time of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. They said, long time ago the prophets have promised that God would send the Messiah, the Savior for Israel. 400 years, he just kept silent. Nothing happened. Only the Roman suppressors are here. And suddenly it happened. The angel proclaimed, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The Apostle Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some think. Instead, he is patient with you, not waiting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We want always to have quick results as people of the 21st century with our hectic life. Quick results. But you know, God is not in a hurry. His timing is just a little bit different from ours. But he keeps his promise. He can be trusted. Now I come back to the topic of love, our continuing debt. Paul says, love is the fulfilling of the law. He does not say love is the end of the law. As he enumerates here some of God's commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. He does not say you don't need to keep them because they are outdated. They are all good guidelines from our Creator so that we may be able to live together. They are still valid. But above all of these commandments of God, there is one theme: love one another. Now we say, but you cannot command love. It does not work by order. We say they fell in love. And when you ask me and Sigrid, how did that happen? What did you make? We only can say, it just happened. Many marriages break away in our days. Why? Love becomes less, although they have promised we love each other all the time, till eternity. But love becomes less, and by disappears. There every couple, and every individual as well, needs to hear and to follow this. All you need is to love. Of course, the singers, they sang, you need is love. I know, I need love. I want love. I want to be loved. But Paul says, you need to love. Active. But I cannot love. I'm completely empty. Therefore, Paul says, put off the deeds of darkness, those things which destroy your life and the lives of others. And in verse 12 he says, put on the armor of light. And 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to whom does the Apostle Paul say this? Is this an evangelistic invitation to people who have not yet decided to follow Christ? It sounds like, but it is not. He writes to the Christians in the church in Rome and to the Christians in LEC as well. We read at the beginning of his letter in chapter 1, verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and all called to be saints. And in the next verse he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. So, to people who are not only Christians in theory, but also in their practical life. Why then does Paul tell these Christians again, put on Christ? They may say to Paul, but we have done this already. At our baptism, when we with the white gowns, as it was common in those days and still is in many churches, that the people to be baptized, they have white gowns on as a sign that we want Christ to remove all our sins and from now on to be our righteousness and the Lord of our life. Well done, says Paul. But when was that? 2, 5, 10 years ago? What about today? You know, To be a Christian is not just a historical act. It is a lifelong process for our decisions every day. A Christian life does not run automatically, like I wind up a clock, which, and then it runs and continues to run automatically. Yes, God's love in Christ has given us a new position, a new status for our life. And as we reflect on this, it's good to ask ourselves, what is the change in our lives? Just to enjoy God's love is too less. You are the light of the world. Jesus has saved us, adopted us into his kingdom for a purpose. But we realize, even as Christians, there are still these desires of our sinful nature. As long as we live in this world, we are not yet in heaven. We live in this fallen world. And in this world, there is the enemy, the power of darkness, the devil, roaming around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to swallow, you and me. And he knows our weak areas in life. Well, we have not killed anybody, we did not rob a bank, but the devil creeps in on many other ways. What about anger, hatred, jealousy? I remember once an evangelist told us about his life. Ireno da Pozzo, together with his brother, he ran a building company in Paris, in France. And he just wanted to go to bed. Then in the garden he heard a noise. He looked out to the window. And he saw that two men were loading his planks he just had bought for the next building, loading it to a lorry. And then Apozzo says, then the visitor came to me saying, it's not right, they are thieves. Call the police, it's your right. And then he remembered, love your enemies. What did Apozzo do? He went out and said, hi guys, hard work here, may I give you a hand? And he had them loading his planks. When they finished, he said, this was hard work, we are hungry now, let's go, I know a place where maybe we can get some food. He went into his house with them and they thought, this guy is more clever than we are. He gave them food, he gave them wine, and they ate, and then off they went with his planks. He gave up his right. It is your right to call the police. Love your enemies. Where are we? We cannot completely avoid all the sinful feelings or even deeds in our life. But we know where to receive forgiveness and orientation for our daily walk. Martin Luther once said, and I think this is a helpful word, you cannot avoid the birds flying around your head, but you can hinder them to build their nests on your head. But we will not overcome by our moral deeds or so. We need to be clothed by Christ, covered in his love, every minute of our life. Now, in the time of Advent, Paul does not call us for romantic feelings or attitudes. He tells us to do something. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. How to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ? I have a suggestion for the next 4 weeks. Every morning when you wake up, instead of switching on the radio, grab the red telephone and say, Lord, I thank you for this new day. Please cover me with your love and care, because with everything I do, I want to honor you. God bless you in this Advent time.